In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Today in the church, we are at the third Sunday before the beginning of Great Lent, and this Sunday is always designated as the Sunday of the Prodigal Son. So we heard that magnificent parable from the 15th chapter of Luke just now in the Gospel reading. A man had two sons, Jesus begins. Now, Jesus tells parables throughout the Gospels. We should know not simply as a way of telling stories, not to pass the time, not for entertainment. Jesus tells them to teach. You know, that's a long-standing scriptural tradition, going back to the Old Testament. A great way to teach people, instead of just telling them facts and giving them rules and such and guidelines, is to tell them a story. And then they learn by it and they remember it better. Because people, being people, relate to stories and narratives. So this is what Jesus is doing. He's addressing it, of course, to his hearers at the time. But it's not just intended for them. It's intended for us as well. So otherwise, why would we be reading it today? Right, this is addressed to us. So a man had two sons. What does that mean to us, we might ask today, this parable of the prodigal son? This situation, this narrative, describes us very eloquently as children of God who fall away and who decide to live away from our Father. And then the way in which we're called back and what God does in response to our coming back. So this is a wonderful example of how God acts with us, how he interacts with us, and how we are in relationship to him. We can talk about the first son. He approached his father and asked for everything that he was going to inherit eventually. He wanted it now. He wanted to take it, and he wanted to go and live apart from his father's house. And we know what happens in the narrative. A great famine came, and he was forced to feed swine, right, for a living, to do that. And in the Jewish understanding, that's probably about as low as you can get. That's skid row, you know, dealing with unclean animals and feeding them, but being so poor that you can't even feed yourself. Okay, so the thing that's going on with this son is that he wanted to inherit everything his father was going to give him, but according to his own timetable. He wants it now, and he wants to do with it what he wants to do with it. We're kind of like that with God, aren't we? We have to be sons of God in order to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And remember, that goes for men and women and children. Right? We don't just mean that we have to be males. We have to be sons of God because according to the cultural environment that this was written in and expressed, a son was an inheritor. So we all want to be sons of God. God created us to live with him, created us in his image, to share in his glory, to grow into that likeness of God and into that image over time. But what we do is we decide we want it all now, and we want it according to our own needs, desires, and terms. We want to be God apart from God. And going all the way back to Genesis, that's true. Remember when the snake or the serpent talks to Eve and says, "Did God tell you not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Did God say that you would die?" That won't happen, he told Eve, right? But it did happen. They died. Their eyes were opened. They became like God. Remember, God says they are become like one of us now. So Adam and Eve, in a sense, wanted to get a jump on living a life in God. They wanted to disobey God's command and become God without God. And that's really our sin today, isn't it? That's our sin. How often do we want things on our own terms and according to our own desires, and we forget what's at the very heart of God's commandments. We'll see that just in a little bit in this gospel. Something happens to the younger son. It says here in the parable, he came to himself. He came to himself. He had some kind of a revelation. He started to see things as they really are. He started to see himself as he really is. He became what he was intended to be, and his eyes were opened, and he said, "Wow, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be living in my father's house, and I'm here in the pig pen feeding swine." Most of the time, brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in the pig pen. We are supposed to be sons of God, living a life in God and sharing in his kingdom and expressing that here on earth, but most of the time, we're slumming it in the pig pen. What we need to do is be like the first son and come to ourselves. We need to have a realization and say, "I have sinned, God," you know, and come to God humbly and ask him for mercy. That's why we have confession in the church. That's what confession is for. It's an opportunity for us to take some time and do an evaluation and see ourselves as we really are. And if we're honest and if we're truthful and we really, really want to see, then God will let us see. And it's not pretty, is it? Sometimes we avoid that. We don't want to live in the reality. It's too painful. It hurts. We like to live a deluded life and think everything's okay and I don't do any sins and I'm okay with God. But that's not the reality. And if each one of us were to take that seriously, we'd see there are many, many different ways in which we fall short. So God expects us then to come to him, right? To make that effort, to turn around and see and come back to God and say, "God, I have sinned. Forgive me." And notice the son only asks to be taken in at the lowest level. He wants to be one of the hired servants. But as we said, this parable teaches us about God and how he is. And we see in this wonderful narrative, the father is waiting to meet the son. And when he sees him in a distance, he runs up to him and he kisses him and he embraces him. And he puts on the best robe, he puts a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and brings him into the house and has a celebration because someone who was dead is now alive and somebody who was lost is now found. So we can see ourselves as the first son. That's important. One thing we don't want to do is hear this parable and see ourselves in the place of the second son. Because this is not a parable about a good son and a bad son. It's about two sons who fail to do God's will in different ways. Now the second son, he gets irritated by the response of the father. And he says, "Father, all these years I've been with you, I never left. I never disobeyed your commandments. You know, I've always been good and faithful. You never did that for me. You never gave me a fatted calf so I can make merry with my friends." He resents the forgiveness shown to the younger son. And maybe we're like that too. Maybe we're like that. Maybe we think we don't ever do anything wrong and we resent other people who come to church. "What is she doing here? I know what she's like, you know. She has no business to be here. I'm here every Sunday. God knows me." Maybe we want to cut other people off from the heavenly banquet. That's really the son's sin, you know. He's talking about how he's been good and kept the commandments, but in his heart he's neglected the greatest commandment of all, and that's love for his brother. He should have loved his brother and embraced him and taken him in and rejoiced along with the father and with the whole household that one who was lost is now found and one who is dead is now made alive. Because this is the great work of our God. This is how our God is. Remember, he will take us back as long as we have that moment where we come to ourselves. It's called in the church repentance. It's called a seeing, it's called a turning around, and it's called a coming to terms with reality and taking a good, honest look at ourselves and our lives. We get this parable now today, three Sundays before the beginning of Lent. And if you'll know, every Sunday building up to today and the few Sundays we have coming up before Lent starts, all express a certain theme. The theme today is that repentance of the prodigal son. That moment when he looks and he says, wow, here I am. God, take me back. So we have to have a moment like that. Something has to happen. We have to have that coming to ourselves. And the church gives us this after last Sunday, which we didn't have services. Maybe we listened to the gospel. Maybe we read through the gospel. Maybe we read some sermons on the internet about last Sunday, very important theme, and that's humility, right? The second son, the older son, possibly could have learned a lesson by the parable last Sunday. Jesus says, two men went to the temple to pray. One of them said this prayer, God, I come to church, I pay my tithes, I give to the poor, I never break the law. Thank you that I'm not like this other guy over here. And the other guy over here was on his face. He couldn't even look up to God, and he just said, God, have mercy upon me. Only one man's prayer was heard, Jesus says. It wasn't the Pharisee who kept the law and talked about it. It was the publican, the tax collector, who wouldn't even look up because he was so humble in the presence of God's holiness. So in that lesson, we need to be humble in our approach to God. We can't expect God to think we're good because we fasted. We can't expect God to think that we're okay because we're in church every Sunday. God knows who we are, you know. He knows everything about us. You might say, why do we have to come to confession? God already knows. Well, that's true. We don't confess to God so that he knows something he didn't know before. We confess to God so that he knows that in our heart, we really, really want to change. It's an act of recognition on our part. God says, where are you? He asks us, where are you? Just like he asks Adam and Eve in the garden after they sinned, and they were hiding from God. It says God comes and he says, Adam, man, where are you? So God wants to know, where are we? Where are we today? And then two Sundays ago and three Sundays ago, we had this theme of having a desire for God. Because brothers and sisters in Christ, none of this is going to happen if we don't want it to happen. Right? Nothing is going to magically take place inside us if we come to church only. We have to want God. We really have to want to live a life in God. We want to be able to see ourselves as we really are, to know what our sins are, to be able to be healed from them. And we have to have some sort of a desire in us. Remember Zacchaeus climbed up the tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. Jesus saw him, called him down, spoke with him, and salvation came to Zacchaeus and to all his household. Remember the Canaanite woman. She wanted Jesus to heal her daughter, and Jesus put up some resistance to argue with her, and she persisted and said, Lord, give me the crumbs. So today we ask God to show us, you know, this pattern here, a desire for God, to approach him in humility, and then to really have an experience where we change inside. This has to happen, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is why we have Great Lent. The only reason is so that we could repent. We could change. We could see and come to know God, to come to ourselves, so that we could turn to him and allow him to heal us. This is the only reason we have Great Lent. This is why Jesus Christ has not come yet, although he will come. He's giving us time. Time to look at ourselves, time to change, time to grow, time to finally say in our hearts we should love as he has loved us by being crucified and dying and giving up his life so that we could have a life in God, in a renewed relationship like that. And then finally, this gospel, not particularly this section of Luke, but the whole gospel, you know, the entirety of the New Testament. We read later, in fact, if you were at Matins this morning, you heard in the Eleusinian gospel, when Jesus is raised up, he comes to his 12. And they didn't understand what this was all about. They disbelieved. Their hearts were hard. And Jesus had to holler at them a little bit and shake them up. He opened their minds so that they would understand the scriptures. He did it. And then it says, and then he says, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer and die and do all this so that a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins could be preached in his name to all nations to the end of the earth, beginning from Jerusalem? So right there again, this is all about repentance. It's about forgiveness of sins. Jesus didn't die so that good people who come to church could see him when he comes again. He wants all the people to see him when he comes again and to belong to him and to be taken up into heaven and to live and eat and drink at the heavenly banquet in the kingdom of heaven. That's what he wants. So in order for that to happen, we have to belong to him today in this life. So something has to happen, right? We're not there yet. We may be far from there, but we need to make some steps to, number one, seeing. Number two, wanting to have a change. And then finally, to turn around and give our lives to God through repentance. So that's what we're doing here today, brothers and sisters in Christ. We're remembering this parable of the prodigal son. Remember, it's two sons who erred in different ways. One, by transgressing the law and the commandment of his father. And the other one, by not forgiving the one who sinned. So we can probably relate to one or both of them. What we don't ever want to do is think we're better, that we don't belong in either of those categories. So may our prayer today be one where God can let us humbly see our sins and bring us to that call to repentance so that we would be ready for this journey into Great Lent we're about to embark on, to build up to the days of his passion and his glorious death and resurrection of Holy Pascha. May this be our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.